This is CliffCentral.com.
It's just after 7 o'clock, CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday morning. We've got Ben, we've got Sia, we've got Gord, we've got you. That's all that matters this morning. By the way, Understanding Cancer is a series that we've done with Discovery. It's a really interesting podcast series, and I would suggest that if you know somebody who's either been diagnosed recently, they've got a family member who's dealing with this cancer journey that you get onto, and you know, it can be very lonely for a lot of people. There aren't a lot of places you can go to hear opinions that are valuable, to talk for more than you would the 15 minutes you get with your doctor, to hear the experts, to think about the finances involved, the quality of sleep, the stress management, the exercise, the nutrition that you could involve yourself in order to make this a little more bearable for those involved. Well, all of this is discussed on Understanding Cancer. It's a one-of-a-kind, first-of-its-kind podcast series hosted by Sonia Booth on CliffCentral.com. It's called Understanding Cancer. You can find out more at 9 a.m. today as we play out another live episode. But remember, all 10 episodes of the series are available on CliffCentral.com, the Cliff Central app, or wherever you get your podcasts. So get that spread around. And if you know somebody who's going through this at the moment, if you know someone who's got a family member or a friend who's going through this and they need to understand it, then it's all in the title, Understanding Cancer. It could be your first step to not be one of those people who says the wrong thing, or worse, one of those people who's trying to say the right thing, but you just don't know enough, and you end up, you know, making everything awkward and uncomfortable. Just listen to the series. It'll help you understand everything that you need to about this disease, what it means to be in remission, all the stuff you need. Go to CliffCentral.com and pass it around. Share it with everybody you know on social media so that they can also get the help they need and the advice and the feeling of community that you'd get from something like this that you wouldn't get if you were just suffering it silently on your own. All right. There have been some follow-ups. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there have been some follow-ups to the Leaving Neverland documentary.
More?
Yeah, there are stories coming out about how some of these revelations may not be the truth. So you know how this
a one-sided happens. Argument in a mainstream media presentation? Really?
Yeah. Some people are saying that the stories that some of these Michael Jackson victims, in inverted commas, have been telling are not entirely unfalsifiable.
Is that really a word? Mm. Anyway, mm-hmm. I know I got you.
So yeah, this was bound to happen. I don't know too much about it, but there are a couple of independent witnesses that are coming forward now, including some of the family members of the guys who say that they were abused by Michael Jackson, they were molested by him. Some of the family of even mothers and fathers of these people saying, actually, that's not true.
To make a counter-documentary in his defense called Staying at Neverland.
They'll be leaving Neverland, and then people go, no, I'm going to watch staying at Neverland. So you could figure out where you belong on that trajectory. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting because we have talked about it for a fair amount of time.
Right.
And now there are counter arguments coming out, and I just think it's necessary to pay attention.
Well, there was also this whole molestation room of where there were many. You know, there was all this talk about there was just beds in all these different rooms.
Yeah.
Well, one of them, the actual building was only built 1993. Like a sex add-on.
Yeah.
Well, and let's just...
So there was the molestation chamber, or it wasn't.
Yes, but it was only built in 1993, and yet these guys were saying they were molested there in between 88 and 92.
Can you call it what it is? It's the train station on the ranch.
A sex add-on is what Ben called it.
Yeah, I'm sure there were some trades written there, but I don't know if it's... Call it what it is, the train station.
Pretty funny. Can you imagine like Michael Jackson on Grand Designs?
And then I created the sex add-on. Yes, I didn't have a nice enough room for sex. So
what he's done here is he's got this lovely provincial style.
Yo. Welcome to another episode of Cribs. I'm here with Michael Jackson. We are looking at his house.
And hi, thanks
Michael,
for coming.
What is this room over here, Michael?
This is the train room. It's where I run trains on young people.
Okay, so you basically have a bunch of model trains here?
We have that, yes, but it's also mostly for boning.
Wow.
But there are model trains, too.
Jesus.
Look, yeah.
Play with the train, well.
This is, and it's like actual documents that prove this. This is a person on Twitter. His name is Mike Smallcomb, mm-hmm. and has actually written a couple of biographies around Michael Jackson, who went to investigate. You know, like when you construct certain things, or if there's construction on your property, you yeah. need like your municipality approval or whatever the case is. So went to the Santa Barbara County, which is where the ranch was, and was able to get documents on when certain things were built. And it is fact. It's proven the fact that the train station itself was approved on September the 2nd, 1993, according to the documentary.
I love that day.
James Safechuck speaks about the fact that, as Ben was saying, that he was abused between the year 1988 and 1992. So what
you were
make
too
of
old
this?
Basically, James, you were too old to make those claims by the time that building was built.
You don't know what happened. No one knows what happened except the people involved. But I mean, this also may be like nitpicking the fine details to poke holes in the story.
This is what lawyers do.
And not just lawyers, though.
Because
Gareth,
if they can prove one thing is inconsistent about your story, they can prove it.
Then your credibility is
reasonable doubt.
Not just lawyers, but we have to all do this. We can't go in a whole hub and a bub about how horrible Michael Jackson was and look at what happened when we don't know the facts. Uh-huh. And I think, though, anyone who's watched the documentary since.
But here's the problem with the world we live in now. There are two kinds of truth. You hear people who are objective, rational, sane people who go, well, the truth is something you can objectively prove. You can prove it with facts, not stories. And then you get those people who go, but what's your truth? Your truth is just whatever you say, and we have to take that at face value. Now, I hear this from people all the time. They say, well, that's not my truth. As if somehow the story, the fantasy, the made-up thing in their head is equivalent to something which you can prove with documentary evidence, with digital footage, with all kinds of things that are absolutely undeniably true. Your story suddenly doesn't have the same kind of weight as them. And we've proven time and time again as humanity that we can't be trusted when we think we're telling the truth. People have been asked immediately after an event has occurred for eyewitness accounts, and they all differ. Mm-hmm. People can't even stay true to their own story within the first five retellings of that story. Yeah. It's completely, undeniably obvious that humans are not great at gathering objective evidence.
Emotion plays a part in it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever your immediate kind of reptilian brain, so to speak, what your instinctive focus is at any given point of time is what you're going to focus on. Like, for example, I don't want to be fake news on this because I don't know the exact amounts, but they were saying like people are like, why don't humans, haven't we evolved 360 degree vision? Because it would make sense from being a more practical, but like your brain would need to be massive in order to be able to process that much visual information, so that your head, your body would need to be way bigger to support your head. But mostly the thing was just the cognitive, the cognitive processing just to process the visual field.
I don't imagine what a person
with a screen like the new Bernabeu around your head.
Imagine what that'll look
but
like.
But the point is that even that, like, never mind having a third eye, like a real one, not a clairvoyant one, or a 360 eye, to process the amount of visual information we already take in is impossible for the brain. So your brain has mechanisms to deliberately not see certain things. So let's say you're in traffic, you're focusing on the car in front of you. Mm-hmm. Your brain is programmed to not process the visual information peripherally unless something there triggers you to go unusual activity.
Yeah.
So you'll be looking at the car in front of you and you will have no idea what happened around you in the cars next to you. No idea. But like if there's a kerfuffle or a gunshot or a rhinoceros galloping down the pavement, your brain goes, okay, pay attention. So you don't even see everything. You can be looking at an event taking place and you can even be looking at an event taking place and your brain is programmed not to see all the shit you're looking at.
This is the point. You are not the best recording device for actual evidence.
No, you're not.
Okay, so what we've got to stop doing is actually allowing people to say my truth, or this is how I feel things
really
happen.
My opinion, my experience.
Because actually it is just an opinion. it doesn't give you any kind of purchase on what real authorities required in order to either sentence someone or anything else of import. You're allowed to have your truth when it's you in your therapy session, or when it's you talking to your girlfriends,
yeah,
or when it's you and your camp, your band camp getting together, and then everybody has their truth.
You know? Well, look, if the question is, did you steal the cookies or did you stab the girlfriend, and there's video footage of you doing it, then the answer as to whether or not the event happened is can be sort of empirically answered. But the problem with what you've just described now is wars of knowing. People who've felt a religious experience and didn't know it was a dopamine dump from group activity, they know they experienced the Lord. Then there's people who are scientists who know that the story of creation is bullshit, so you know. And now you've got two people who fully believe that they 100% know, and then they're willing to fight to the death about it. That's where personal subjective experience becomes dangerous, because it's not an opinion. I know. So well,
Barry says on the emails this morning, Barry Smith says, when people claim it's their truth, just ask them what the difference is between their truth and their opinion.
Yeah, good. Well point.
And usually
Well point, Barry.
All right. And then, I haven't been able to WhatsApp into the show for over a year now, says Carl. That's why he emails me. But don't worry, Carl.
Your dog actually emails you.
No, Carl DeSantos. Oh. Jesus, I always have to clear this up. To steal a Gordonism, it tunes fuck you, but. That's what Gord says. Why can't I WhatsApp you like everyone else? Because, Carl, we've decided that you're a special class of human and we're going to put you in a
different
category.
Have you considered it might be your WhatsApp's truth and not our WhatsApp's truth?
Yes, maybe your WhatsApp's truth
is that you just have a shitty WhatsApp that doesn't like us.
Yes,
Carl. Maybe Cliff Central WhatsApp is desperate for some Carl and just can't get any.
So last night the petrol price went up by 1.80 rand. Okay, and this is not because...
Ooh, I just felt another inch go in.
I know. And this is not because the international crude oil price went up, or because we're a greatly successful economy that is competitive with international economies and we don't have an import-export imbalance. No, it's purely government taxes. That's what's happened.
Yes.
This is another way for the government to take your money. Yeah. Now, on Tuesday morning, yesterday morning, I mentioned a story in the news that SARS are confident, they're ebullient about the fact that they're going to bring in, they're going to reap an extra 10% of taxes this year. They're confident they're going to find another 10% of your money. I have to ask this, because it seems to be one of those things that we just assume is the natural order of things. I have to ask when it's going to become a question for public referendum whether we should give over our money under threat of force to an immoral government, and I say immoral government in the case of our government in this country, who have shown themselves to be thieves, who have shown themselves to be agents of state capture. I have to ask when it's going to become unacceptable for a government to levy taxes off the populace at gunpoint, and when we're going to say, well, that was a relic of our past, and actually these days, if you want to volunteer your taxes to people, let's say, for example, you're a socialist and you believe that everybody should be equal, that's fine. Then you must give over, because you are a socialist. If you have any principle, you must hand over 90% of what you have to the state, because that's what you believe in, to redistribute it. If you do not buy into that, though, let's say you're the kind of person who thinks that you own the fruits of your labor, that you go to work every day so that you can reap the benefits of being a worker, so that you can be paid what you're worth by voluntary agreement with an employer or employee, that they can be paid, you know, vice versa, what they think they're worth, and that when you take that money away from your job, you're entitled to all of the fruits of it. And those people don't have to pay taxes. There's got to be a system where, if you like the idea of everybody sharing, you like the idea of a communal pot, a stockfell, you can join in, and you can do that in your own. But if you don't believe it's moral to give an immoral government your money, you should be able to keep 100% of it, and SARS should not be able to touch it. There has to be a social compact here, which works for everybody.
It's a social contract, and it's like, we give you this, in return you do that, and you can't continue.
But
how long will you pay an employee their salary and give them raises if they do no work. Not only do they do no work, they come in and break shit in the office every day when they feel like it and take the printer home with them because they like it.
So when you go to the petrol pump today, or when you see your taxi fare has gone up, or when you realize that the cost of goods in the store has gone up commensurate to that R1.80 extra.
Well, ask Julius Malema what's happened.
Well, he's not the government.
Tell you the whites.
He's not the government. You can listen to him if you feel that it's worth your time. I don't. But you should ask the government. And you should, when you're going into the elections in May of this year, it's just a month away, you should think very carefully about why you're battling, why you're struggling on the bread line, why you and your family are probably more debt than you have money. Yeah. Why you can't afford to go to and from work because that doesn't pay you anymore. It's almost worth staying at home.
Yeah, why your increases, if you get them, still seem to have you having less money each year because your increase does not keep up with the de-evolution, the devolution of the economy. Like, I read an article on the Daily Maverick, and I don't know how much of it is hype and whatever. I know they are a news organization with something of a
yeah, they're credible.
Well, yes, they have a viewpoint. But the point that I'm making is that I don't know. Let's assume mostly it's accurate, even if it's not entirely accurate. They said it's a Gordian knot trying to untangle the cost of state capture, but they said that the second term of Jacob Zuma's presidency cost one third of the economy, like one third of the GDP of the country. The government stole a third of the wealth of the country. Yeah. And that's not counting the economic growth that didn't happen because of economic backwarding.
Mm-hmm. And then the SARS come out and they say we're going to reap another they actually used the word reap another 10%.
They sucked a third of the country's wealth out.
Not SARS, but they certainly were the vehicle.
The government, yeah.
For immoral activity with our money. Now, I don't see why you should have to pay into that anymore. That is like looking after a child that is a drug addict that will not go to rehab. I don't see how that's a good thing to do. You become an enabler for bad things. Let's wrap it up. Leave it at that. Yeah. Everybody's pissed off about this extra tax that's been tagged onto the petrol price. Is there anything else to say about it other than that we're pissed off?
In summary, bunch of dickheads.
I just got some perspective here. Chris Hart had a very interesting tweet that said in April 2012, petrol price R11.94 based on $125 a barrel. Right now, R16.13 based on $65 a barrel.
So half the price.
Oil's half the price.
Right.
And we are now paying 16.13 years later.
To 11 Rand.
94. In 2009, barrel of oil, $68. Mm-hmm. Price of petrol, 7 Rand 50 a litre.
That is because we are all paying the price for our thieving government.
Exactly.
And I don't see how that's fair in any world. Oil's, you want to talk about equality and fairness? I don't believe that all of us are as responsible for the situation that we find ourselves in fiscally because of a bunch of politicians who robbed everything blind and parastatals who robbed everything blind.
And
that's run by
that statistic on stealing a third of the country's wealth. It's not the tax revenue, the liquid tax revenue available. It's the actual facilities and resources of the country.
The asset,
not just the cash that's in a bank for the tax account.
The asset value. All right. Enough of that because I don't know what to say about it. Besides what we've already said. Have you heard of the new expat tax, says somebody on WhatsApp, that is coming? Basically, if you leave South Africa, you'll not be free of SARS. Well, you know what? Unfortunately for SARS, the people who make like loads and loads of money, the super rich, the really clever people who started businesses and have billions in the bank, as Julius says, they are cleverer than SARS.
Trillions,
they will find. They will find ways. First of all, if they can't get their money out, they'll leave it here and they'll just start something new. The value isn't their money. You can't separate them from their money. They made that money out of nothing. Do you understand?
Or out of less money.
So they can go and do it again in another country. And then you will lose them and the future income they will provide.
And the employment that they presumably need to grow their business.
Well, it'll go somewhere else. I wish people understood this, that the cake isn't just so big.
Yeah.
And
it's also not cut up, no divine entity. Some people, sure, you start off with a trust fund, whatever.
Yeah.
That is a true thing because the parents earned that money. But there's no divine slicer of the cake handing your wealth status.
No.
As people walk out of the conveyor belt.
To socialists, there is. It's called the
government. There's historical legacy. There are factors that not everybody starts on the same equal footing.
No.
But the point is.
And that's never going to change.
Everybody can succeed on their own merit, and it's not about slices of a cake being handed out by a person who can't make them equal.
Have you guys watched Who is America yet? Sacha Baron Cohen is a genius. The stuff he gets people to do, the one episode to show how stupid the food critic profession is, he gets a food critic to eat what he thinks is human meat. I haven't seen Sacha Baron Cohen's new
story about the dude who fed his friend his leg.
Mm.
Or foot.
Yeah, his foot. This Sacha Baron Cohen, though, he's bloody funny.
I find him a bit cringy. Like, I've never been a big fan of cringe comedy. And I enjoy, like, when I was younger, I enjoyed L.E.G. and all of that stuff. But when he, like, does, like, Borat and stuff, where it's just awkward.
I love
I find it a bit difficult to sit through. I want to check this new thing out because I wonder if it's not different.
Someone else says, are you getting these messages? I don't know who you are, but yes, all right.
Yes, I mean, now there's bad planning. Are you getting my messages, but we don't know who you are?
Regan or Reagan says, go and stay in Urania if you don't want to pay tax. I think the people of Urania do have to pay tax because they are part of the Republic of South Africa. But I don't understand your point, Reagan. Are you saying that you're entitled to my money and I'm entitled to yours? Is that what you're saying? I'm not entirely sure we are understanding each other. And he sent the message about 8 times. Vanessa says, when you leave South Africa, you can financially emigrate and you will be free of SARS. I think you can, but that's not the point I'm trying to make. Why should people have to run to another place in order to stop a predatory state from taking their things? That doesn't make sense to me. Have you guys... please stop talking about Michael Jackson and this whole story. Move on, says somebody who's disinterested in Michael Jackson.
Yeah, fair point, maybe.
All right. Do you want to hear from Jessie Duarte? She is the poison dwarf in the ANC. Listen to how she treats journalists, all right? Here's a video where she verbally abuses a journalist at the ANC's 2017 policy conference. This happened again yesterday on ENCA, but listen to this. This is old footage, right, of Jessie and how pleasant she is as a human being, all right? Take it away, Jessie. Show us put your best foot forward.
How did you feel that Sunday when you woke up and read the Sunday newspapers that your sons had?
I'm not going to answer you. And I'm putting it on record. You're very destructive. My son is a 42-year-old man who has the right to take decisions about his life. You...
Oh, she's... hang on, that just stopped in the middle of it. Hang on.
Radio and television stations.
Let me go back.
Decisions about his life. You are a corrupt radio and television station. What you're trying to do is you're trying to implicate me in the life. Yes, you are. In the life of an adult. And I take great exception to that. I am not corrupt. And here's my challenge to you. You've now said that you are putting this at my door. You will receive a letter from me on Monday. You will have to prove how corrupt I am and where that corrupt... Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Because that is the prop. Yes, you will. I'm not letting it go. No, I am going to write...
Yes, they're turning up the music as well.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. You are part of you are corrupted. You speak for capital. You want to destroy this country and you want me to be part of your... Yes, you...
Now, this is just unbelievable to me. This was in 2017.
Who the hell is she talking about? Because there's no way she's talking to an ANN7 journalist.
No, no, no.
Because she's on that side.
I can't imagine which company it might have been.
Who's corrupt?
But I like the way she suddenly turns this... I mean, this was her son who was shown to have been one of the beneficiaries of state capture, right?
It's just shout a person down. Mm.
She's a bully.
Yeah, just shout the person down. Just keep repeating yourself louder than they can because you have a microphone so that whatever they're saying cannot be heard and just win by shouting. You're a dickhead. That whether you do that metaphorically in life or in real life, you're a dickhead if you just shout people down.
Hmm.
Regardless of what you're shouting them down about.
Someone says, oh, I wish we had Pinochet. He used to throw these filthy communists out of helicopters.
Drastic but effective.
So there's a comment from someone on, that's G-Man on the WhatsApp line, 0797482090.
A comment from a classic historian.
All right, what else have we got? Ben, what's on your mind?
I had a great story. Here we go. anti-vegan protests. A guy got arrested because he ate a raw squirrel in the street. Like, this is like another level, right? So he's wearing a wife beater vest that says veganism equals malnutrition. And to prove his point even further, he ate a squirrel.
What? Why?
How did the squirrel start out? Like,
well,
prepared.
The squirrel was just being a squirrel.
But I mean, was it like prepared?
No.
Was it butchered?
Just uncooked, decapitated squirrel.
Oh.
He caught it while it was
at
alive.
The Soho Vegan Market in Rupert Street, London, and he just sort of gristling on this thing.
But he caught it. It was still wriggling when this began.
It was pretty raw, Gord. It was pretty raw. So he rocked up, and obviously, you see all these videos with the caption, bloke that ate a squirrel.
Good
like,
Lord.
Obviously, I don't say people should go to murder squirrels because, you know, like, it's not very nice. But this is the level of what's happening with these vegan protests, because obviously there's a lot of vegan protests, not a lot of anti-vegan protests. So, but the anti ones are pretty fire.
The meat lobby of
yeah,
the, back.
When the carnivores come and protest, it's a hell of a thing. I don't know, like, you know, I understand protesting people try to take away your right to eat meat, but protesting people's right to not eat meat, it's like, you'll eat meat, you fuckers. Here's a squirrel.
I'm going to eat it.
I'm going to kill it so that you, like, it's like, eat meat or I'm going to kill an animal for nothing.
Yeah, that's a bit stupid. That's really not great.
We, yeah, but he's, okay, so this guy, SV3RIGE.
Is that his name?
That's who he is on YouTube. So, I mean, this is his thing in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy isn't selling insurance or whatever. He's eating squirrels and doing anti-vegan things. That's his
life.
This
isn't his first squirrel.
No, this is his thing in life. So he's done similar things before. And many are saying his actions are actually having the opposite effect of what he believes.
Because they're making people damn sure not want to eat living creatures.
A lot of people don't want to eat meat. This is how savage this is.
Yeah.
But he's pushing this whole thing about veganism is malnutrition, and you can only get 50 nutrients from plants.
Sure.
Bet you that's thoroughly scientifically backed.
Exactly.
Peer-reviewed. And
so if you want to see more about – look, I think – we've had this conversation so many times in the show. It's like there's merits about a vegan diet, but there is a lot of people who are horribly malnourished when they try it. This guy clearly just not going well with them.
Look, it's a good point to make, but you don't need to eat the squirrel in front of someone. If you think vegans are being, you know, are malnutritioned and that they need to eat more meat, then have that discussion with a vegan you care about. But what the hell business is it of yours to interfere by eating a live squirrel?
And a lot of them know that there's like nutritional deficit, but they're doing it because of humanitarian reasons and actually like have to compensate for the lack of those nutrients. They're not aware of it. They're not only eating plants because they think it's got more nutrients than meat does.
Yesterday I mentioned that someone came up to me and asked who I'm voting for in the elections, and I said, sure, I'm not even sure that I want to take part in these elections, but if I do, I'll probably vote for one of the smaller parties. And at this point, the party that seems to me to be appealing, because we know the guy's Canton Pillay's South African Capitalist Party. But I'll tell you something. You have to decide a lot, and maybe we can help you to make that decision. As the country moves closer to the May 8th elections, we have a clairvoyant on the line this morning to give us a reading on some of the country's biggest political leaders. Now, she is a Persian clairvoyant. Her name is Aida. She's highly gifted and experienced, and she uses mediumship or clairvoyance. She does tarot readings, Gord. I know you like that.
Love a tarot.
Bit of numerology and Reiki even to help people. So we're going to talk to her about the readings that she can do. And good morning. It is Aida, right? I pronounced that right.
Yes,
Good morning, Aida. Yes. So Aida, first of all, do you like have a caravan and do you hide behind a beaded curtain and do we come in and there's smell of incense and all that stuff, or is it a what kind of, just describe your circumstances, so if someone had to come and see you they wouldn't have some preconceived idea.
Okay. When people see me, they don't expect me to be a clairvoyant because I'm just as normal people wearing and how they are.
Okay.
So I don't usually have that type of outfit or the look to match my job. And I must a little bit clear that because I was an interpreter before I become a clairvoyant.
Okay.
So I was an interpreter and translator, and then my journey, I call it, that directed me to do what I'm doing now.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, and I'm finishing my doctoral degree in metaphysics. So my academic studies next to my passion for supernatural and other side of the life, the beyond, what I call the unseen world, next to one another, brings me to become who I am. Yet, no, I just walk out as a normal person. Nobody would guess that I'm a clairvoyant.
Now, you also grew up in a traditionally religious family in Iran. I'm quite curious about your background. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I was born in a family where religious was there, was, but spirituality was practiced more. So it wasn't bound just to Islamic religion. Mm-hmm. My father's father was a great known healer, and my mother was the psychic of the family, although they never practiced as a job. They were always helping people, but they never practiced as a job for earning. I learned a great deal from our culture, deep-rooted mysticism from Sufism, and as well as Persian culture, which is very rich in understanding the supernatural realities, energy, working with energy, healing, and so on. So I was never limited by the belief of just the religion. Spirituality was the key.
And now you're in South Africa, so we're going to need your help in trying to figure out what is in the readings for Cyril Ramaphosa and some others. Let's start with the president. How well do you get a reading off of him, and what do you think is likely to be the outcome for him in the next few months? What's going on with Cyril Ramaphosa?
Well, he is going to undergo stress as from the half of the year, which we know that the election is going to be and further, but he has he has energy for expansion this year and balance. So the reading that I had for him showed that he's coming to delegate, and he's going to expand himself, and he has actually a seemingly positive future.
Mm-hmm.
Also, his perfectionism, he knows where there is an ability of knowing how to, the last moment, pull themselves together, the ability to make things right at the core where everybody else expects otherwise. So that is for him. And this year is a year of expansion for him, and balance is very important. 2 years from now, there are going to be major changes, either in his personal or for career. But from now to next year, stress is tremendous amount of stress on him. And 2 years from now, there will be some changes coming his way. And that change might be career-wise or in his personal life, but definitely is there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll be recalled.
Sorry, I didn't hear.
No, maybe he'll be recalled. That's a bit of a tradition in the ANC. You just let a president run for as long as he's useful, then you recall him. Okay. That's what they do.
So I still see him running as a president. So that's one thing for sure.
All right. How about Julius Malema, the EFF leader? How do you see his future and the next couple of months?
Well, I don't see a strong future in that regard, and hopefully people's awareness and consciousness in South Africa is strong and high enough to recognize that negative energy, I'll put it that way, is not the way to move forward. Mm-hmm. There is 2 to 3 years time. There's something that comes to an end for him. So I'm not saying exactly that might be his career. But there's major things that comes to an, certain things that comes to an end for him. A new beginning is starting. He, strange enough, he's born with the gift to help. He's supposed to be really a spiritually strong and helpful. Also, it shows tremendous amount of strength and independence and stubbornness in his numbers. And that is perhaps what he puts and displays at times, and we will see. And there are a lot of fire, and that shows a lot of anger, maybe the reason behind the anger. But as I said, 3 years from now, major things coming. I don't see an expansion for him, unfortunately, in that regard, maybe for him. But I really hope that South Africa knows what they are choosing in this election and what's going on, because I feel like South African people are truly humble and patient. They display tremendous amount of patience with their government, which is really rare.
What about Musi Maimane of the DA? Anything on him?
Well, yes, I see growth and expansion for him, but nothing major in change, or it's put it that way, in a election. I still feel like ANC going to be the majority holder of the vote. That's what I see, and he is still have a lot to do in order to get himself or the party stronger
All the economists and politicians in the world a while ago said that that Brexit was unlikely to happen. They said that Trump would never be elected. Maybe the clairvoyants and the psychics had a better chance of predicting that. What are your feelings on Donald Trump and Theresa May going forward? How are we looking internationally in terms of the world around us and how that affects all of us?
I wrote an article recently about human rights, and it was, as we are moving through the fourth revolution, industrial revolution, and technologically being advanced, we are reaching a time of genome editing and fusion power and so on and so on. But my question was, how as human have we evolved? How much have we evolved? How many revolutions have we put behind us to say we have revolutionized the human consciousness and the way we are interacting, the way that we are, we don't need any more war in order. That is the fundamental question I have still, that our politicians are still using power of war and fear against one another in order to become a president or become to have power. To me, Donald Trump was needed for our planet in order for us to recognize we don't need this type of anger or this type of negative energy or negative force to move forward. He was really a wake-up call for everybody, and we needed that, and that's why he is here. The same with Brexit, with Theresa May. I feel like there is hope for Britain, the way that they are going through the leaving European Union. I think that they might get a deal out of it. The deal might be there. Still, they're pushing for it, and I feel like they may. This is a good year for Theresa May if she puts all her efforts, which she is. I feel like she is putting her effort. This is the year that she may reap the reward of her hard work. At some point, on a personal level and energetic level, for her, is a positive year.
All right. So, I mean, a lot of these predictions, a lot of these readings that you're giving me are fairly obvious, if you don't mind my saying. Are there any surprises that we're likely to encounter? I mean, are there any things that in 2-3 months' time we'll say, oh, my God, we should have spoken to Aida about lots more, because there's definitely this one outlying thing that she's chosen has come true. I mean, surprise us a little bit.
The thing is, I am literally not a political reader at all. I am not interested in politics, right, well, to put it that way.
Tell us about Gord Laws. Yeah. I mean, he's sitting opposite me here. Gord is he's part of the show every Wednesday. And I'm sure that you can get a reading off of him. You can feel his energy.
Of course.
Very energetic guy.
Okay.
So, Gord, do you want to answer a few questions?
Yeah, and maybe I'm open to being read. Hi, Aida. I'm Gordon.
Hi, Gordon. Yes, as I said, political reading is not my forte, not because I'm not good at it or whatever. I have no interest in politics. I have done reading for them. And on a personal level, I can tell you each person what may be in their lives. Mm. But I do not, because it's, to me, politics are negative. Right. So I leave them behind for them.
I think for all of us, it's Gordon, a negative. I agree. So let's go, Gord.
Sorry?
Yeah, please continue, Ada.
Yes, but Gordon, yes, I would love to give him a personal reading and then he can be, maybe the surprise comes out there. Mm-hmm. Gordon, can I have your date of birth, please?
Sure, 1st of August, 1981.
1981, so you are 37?
Correct, yeah. 38 in August.
Hmm.
All right. What are you picking up, Aida?
I am just give me, if you don't mind, just a few seconds.
All right.
Sure.
Go ahead. We'll just talk amongst ourselves in the meantime and scribble down our own notes about Gord.
Yep.
Ben, you have any predictions about Gord for the next
couple
of months?
I'd like to hear Ben's predictions about me.
I suggest Gordon will go from okay health to slightly worse health as winter approaches.
Oh, shit.
And that may have a damning effect on his overall life.
Huh.
Gord, of course, is positive in spirit. But will that be enough?
But poor in health.
To fight the winters.
All right. What do you think, Aida? I mean...
Okay. Gordon, to me, this is new beginnings for you. Are in on his way. I feel like you have worked very hard from 27 to 36. Not much growth on a physical or financial level might have been seen. Your growth is still coming. You have, you are a very strong and independent person. You have qualities of leadership. At times, there is a sense of doing so much and too much and not receiving enough support. You can be single-minded at times. That is one part of you. Perfectionist, somebody that can, if you don't do something and if you want to do it, you do it. It needs to be perfect. You are very warm and very giving. This year for you is the year of expansion. Whatever you are doing can grow. Also, you receive opportunities that comes around you. From your 36 to your 45, I feel like business is going to expand for you. Your opportunity traveling abroad is coming for you. So if I tap psychically, that traveling, that moving abroad is strong. That, I'm not sure if you are planning to move out of South Africa, if there is anything to take you over the outside here, that is coming very strongly for you.
Yeah, I am looking at some overseas travel. I can't deny that I have overseas travel plans. That's if you got that out of nowhere, then that is either a very, very good guess or that's some impressive stuff, Ada.
Yeah, Gordon, I don't know you and I don't know you. It's the first time I talk to you. I don't even know what your surname is. So I don't, so I can't just pull things out of air.
Yeah.
So that's the energy I'm getting.
Cool.
Okay, hold on.
I'm enjoying it so far. It sounds like good stuff. My surname is Laws, by the way. I don't know if that helps you. Laws, like, many pieces of legislation.
Justin, you said expansion. You said Gord's up for some expansion.
Shut up, Gareth.
Is that a physical kind of expansion? Are we talking about Gord becoming obese?
Not necessarily. This is a year where opportunity is coming his way. And also his decision-making are very important. He can give a feedback to us later on for his reading to see how his reading has been, maybe later if it comes, because in 2 years from now, a year from now, there will be pressure on him, and 2 years from now, if he doesn't manage his life well, havoc can come in. So major changes might come into his life.
It sounded really positive, and now there's havoc.
Yeah, there could be havoc.
It sounded like it was all going to go well and I was going to get the financial expansion that I kind of haven't had so far.
it's going to be a period of great growth from 36 to 45, so uh-huh. like the next 8 years. But now there's potential for havoc. How do I avoid, how do I go down the path of the more positive overseas things and expansion things and financial reward that's been eluding me? What can I do to
avoid havoc,
to move toward that potential outcome and away from the havoc?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because we cannot avoid problems and obstacles in our lives, always going to be there, and certain times more than other times. So when we are coming and facing the problem, one of the things that I always say is that see that for what is, and don't make it bigger, and don't give it meaning, negative meaning, or don't make it bigger than whatever it is. Remaining with the fact and creating is looking for solution for it, and taking steps towards solution is always managing that period of havoc or difficulty. So most of the time people get into overanalyzing the situation, and they get caught into the loop of thinking, and that doesn't allow them to make the right choice. For you, because it's a year of expansion, that's what I'm saying. The year of expansion is you expand. And if you are going to a wrong direction, you know, it doesn't matter how positive you are and how hard you're working. If you are going to east looking for a sunset, you will not get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you need to be in a right direction. All so right. Your decisions.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to expand, metaphorically speaking, because shut up, Gareth. Yeah, he keeps making fat jokes about expanding. Yeah. So I'm going to expand, metaphorically speaking, and I need to then be very cognizant of which direction I'm going to expand in, because expanding's coming. I must aim it right.
Okay.
That's what I get from that.
So Aida, I'd like to ask you one other favor quickly. We've got Sia Sangweni here. You've spoken to Sia on the phone. I'm going to ask Sia to give you his date of birth, and perhaps we can have a little glimpse into Sia's future here. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a talented young man. He's got lots of opportunities in his future. There's potential for him to be a very great person, I'm sure.
He already is a very great person.
So, Sia, give your date of birth to Aida, and then she can do a reading for you.
My date of birth is the 3rd of Feb, 1995.
Yes.
Okay. Any immediate comments? Is that a lucky date? Is it a bad date? Is it a havoc date like Gord?
No, he is the 2nd, the 3rd of the 2nd is Aquarius. You are aligned with the age of Aquarius, so you are a great thinker, open, with your mind. You are not a conservative type of person. Out-of-box thinking and non-conformist prism is where it has taken you far in your career. How old are you now?
24.
Okay. So you have left behind those years I was talking about, the years of havoc in your cycle. You're moving towards the end of this cycle, in 3 years' time, and I really do feel that your creativity plays a role in your, I don't have much time to analyze all of that, but your creativity is, and your growth, definitely you're going to have a great future. I don't like to put things, negative things in here, but look after. Yeah, negativity. I don't like to give negative. You know,
I got havoc. Always... Give him some negativity.
All right, but you know what? I'm open to it. Let's hear the negativity.
Yes. Sorry. Let's what?
I'm open to hearing about the negativity.
You know, if I may say, stay away from motorbikes, small accidents, or you know, that is what I see around you. So you need to be aware. Bit careful around those type of things. And you know, people that
Sia's
I do,
looking so concerned. Really, sorry, Eddie, because you can't see him. Sia's looking like
terrified.
genuinely affected by that comment.
Okay, so stay away from motorbikes.
Yeah, you need to stay away. I mean, that is why I always say, I don't give negative comments often. But when I genuinely feel like something that I have to share, then I have to share it.
Okay.
Sure. I don't, as I said, I usually don't. But accident prone people, if I can help to avoid that or to help them redirect that, then why not?
Sure.
Yeah. So please stay away from that. But let me just quickly, very quickly, let me look at this. Your biggest enemy is yourself, your mind. You are overanalyzer. You are someone that thinks too much. Mm. You're born with level of success. There is success in here. And your creating a structuring wealth is also very good. Your decision making. You can be a good manager, but because you see faults and flaws in people around yourself easily, so you can improve the situation. Mm. But at the same time, you see the faults and flaws in yourself the most. So be kinder to yourself. That's what I could say about you. In France, there is a female energy, which I feel like the mother, or I can't say grandmother, but I feel there is a female that is strongly overprotective over you.
Oh.
And that is
Oprah
very,
Winfrey. It's definitely
strong company.
It's Oprah Winfrey. See, I think she's Oprah's adopted child. So that's the female energy for sure.
This is so true.
Wow.
So, that is what I can get in a very short time.
I appreciate that you did those on the spot ones, because I know that it's difficult without too much information to be able to give very much
over the phone as well.
But that was great. So Gord is going to, there's definitely havoc in 2 years.
The growth
time.
And the potential for havoc.
Cliff, you don't. Why is that? This is the media. It always focuses on negative.
Focus on the positives, Ada.
All right. Yeah. But basically what I took out of this is that Gord could have a good future, but there could also be havoc if he doesn't control himself and take opportunities and do the right thing. And with Sia, he's got to be careful of motorbikes. Mm. Ben
don't overthink so much.
Right. Now, Ben in the studio rides a motorbike into work every day. I'm wondering if Sia should just maybe make sure Ben's never
in a
collision pass.
It's a metaphor for Sia and I equal danger.
Okay. Wow. Well, but thank you, Aida, and I appreciate, and I agree with you. Politics is negative. I don't like to dwell on it too much either, but it's an excuse for us to be able to engage with you. And maybe one day we'll get you in the studio and talk some more.
I look forward to that. And for people that may want to contact me, I am going to give my information if it's okay with you.
Of course.
My number is 071-369. Uh-huh. 2103. So 071-369-2103. And my Instagram page is Spiritual Advisory Cape Town.
All right. And awesome. Of course, people will be able to get all that information on the Cliff Central website when we put it up later.
Spiritual Advisory Cape Town.
Thank you so much, Aida. Very nice to talk to you. Isn't that interesting, Ben? You got to be careful with your bike around Sia.
I will. Have a future, and if I don't manage it well, there might be problems.
Well, here it is. Someone has just summarized that very nicely, one of our listeners. The time has finally come, Sia. Ben is going to run you over with his bike. So be nice to him and avoid Gord equals havoc.
Honestly, I didn't want to put words into
13 and a half kilos down in 9 weeks. I'm going for my weekly weigh-in after the show. I'm hoping to break 15. If I get on the scale and I've regained all my weight because of my period of expansion, I'm going to be bleak.
But you have expansion coming.
Oh, fuck, man. I don't want to expand anymore.
You're going to grow.
I don't want a period of growth and expansion, guys.
Here's someone who says, Gareth, while I respect your decision to not vote for one of the big political parties, I can't understand why you would waste an important vote at the risk of a bunch of corrupt and fucking stupid politicians continuing to run this country into the shit. Apologies for the lack of punctuation, but please vote for a proper party that can make a difference. That's exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm not voting for the EFF, the DA, or the ANC. That's for sure. I'm not rewarding them for being cuck. Then someone else says, morning team, they haven't given their name, just wanted to comment on yesterday. I realized when reading the K53 rules before writing my learners that with the traffic lights, it doesn't say stop when it's red or go when it's green. It says proceed if it's safe to do so, but I can never do that because I'd get a fine. That's interesting.
I wonder if that's a wording malfunction. Or if that's actually like the rule has been misinterpreted. That's interesting.
And the same person says, I never stop at a traffic light at night. I'd rather slow down from far away so that by the time I get to the traffic light, it has turned green.
Also, is the K53 learning book, I mean, I think there's an online one, but that old yellow book with the red triangle in the front that you learn when you take your test, is that the letter of the law?
I think so,
Or is that like a study aid?
help you interpret.
Because
you keep that shit in your cubbyhole and be like, no, officer, as a matter of fact, I proceeded because it was safe to do so until you pulled me over, and now it's not safe because it's nighttime and we pulled over.
Yeah, I don't actually know. It's a good question, Gord.
Shit, if we have to read, first of all, like, we're questioning the future. We're getting, like, mystical in the studio. And now we don't know whether robots are mean red or green.
I know.
It's a time of reconsidering. It's a real time of expansion and growth for me.
It's your truth.
And my truth says robots don't mean stop anymore when they're red.
If you drive in South Africa, don't miss the smart driving feature. This is where we can answer these questions. PigSpotter will help us to tackle topics like the auto bill, road safety tips, and more. You know PigSpotter, right?
Yeah, I know him personally. He's a good dude.
This week, you get to channel your inner lawyer as we take a look at some of your rights on the road, from being breathalyzed to illegal towing to what to do after an accident and many other tricky situations. We cover all the fine print in this latest episode. The Smart Driving Podcasts are available on cliffcentral.com right now. It's powered by King Price Insurance. You can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com. All righty, it's time for the unnews, and then we are going to clear the way for some more excellent and interesting stuff through the course of your day. Don't forget, tomorrow morning we're back with, among other things, The Burning Platform in its new incarnation. The Burning Platform keeps evolving, and tomorrow we will continue that evolution. All right, here's what you need to know. NASA held an emergency press conference this week saying they'll be aiming to land on Mars as early as 2022. They were originally scheduled to get there by 2034, but after hearing Julius and his latest EFF election rally speech, they realized the time is now to get away from this mess called Earth. As the Neverland Ranch continues to be dragged through the mud over the child abuse allegations with regard to Michael Jackson, the price of the property continues to plummet. So much so that many people are saying it's becoming unsellable. This has a lot to do with the fact that pedophiles are historically rather poor, so therefore nobody of Michael Jackson's type might have the cash to buy this place out of the blue. And finally, the continued use of VAR in English football will now see the incidents being shown on the stadium screens for fans so that they can be a part of it. Critics say that this will create violence and disorder. So to test it this weekend, they're going to screen footage of Theresa May talking in Parliament just to see how much anger the screens have the ability of creating. Poor Theresa May. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
If clairvoyance is to be believed.
All right, go stop causing havoc, all right? You've got havoc.
Theresa May, but will she?
This is the havoc that she was talking about. You're going down a dark path, Gord Laws. You're about to expand.
I'm going down a path. That much we know.
You're going to expand volubly.
Yes. Oh. Fuck. Love you, homies.
This is CliffCentral.com.